Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. And you can continue to send your comments in. Thank you to Don Taylor, Rick Dollywell for joining me for the crossover in the first segment. Randy Janda is coming up for the final hour starting at 1 o'clock, but lots to get into before that. Let's go to the whiteboard.
All right now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, January 15th, starting with the headline. The Canucks get blown out by Winnipeg. 6-1 is the final score in the final game of their five-game road trip. Unable to follow up on a good performance, strong performance, a 3-0 win against the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday, but they followed up with a dud, losing 6-1 against a very good Winnipeg Jets team. Now, when the Canucks get blown out, as happens from time to time, of course, it's happened a lot this year. We'll get more into that for a second. But a lot of times when the Canucks get blown out, and this isn't just a this year thing. Go back to even last year. We get texts along the lines of true Stanley Cup contenders don't get blown out like that. They don't play games that are that poor. And I don't really think that's true, actually. One-off bad games happen. That's a thing. And I'm sure you can go back and find examples where, you know, Florida and et cetera, go down the list of recent Stanley Cup winners have gotten blown out badly in their cup winning seasons. One-off bad games absolutely happen. And this text comes in, stop the panic. They're a good team and it'll all come together. Every bad loss in the media is ready to have a fire sale. Normally, I agree with that perspective a little bit. With like, hey, it's a bad game. Flush it, move on. The problem is, it's happened so often with such regularity for this team this year that it's getting very, very hard to ignore. It's getting very, very hard to play the, it's just a bad game. Burn the tape and move on. When you've already had to burn the tape of what, like 6, 7, 8 similar games this year that have just been disastrous. I mean, opening night, blowing a huge lead against Calgary, New Jersey, the Islanders come into town. Edmonton in the game of a rematch. You go down the list. Boston, that was an ugly one. Blowing that lead to the Seattle Kraken late in the game. There have been too many burn the tape games for the Canucks to just write it off at this point. And the repeated blowouts, for me, it's genuinely concerning. And I was talking a little bit about this in the crossover with Donnie and Dolly. It's not just the inconsistency factor. I get that. The roller coaster aspect of this season is very frustrating. You follow up a really impressive road performance with an absolute dud. That Boston game that I mentioned, that was sandwiched in between two really impressive performances. 4-0 shutout against Florida and a win against Colorado. And yet the one in the middle is a disaster. And I completely understand why that's so frustrating, but that's not the main concern for me. Because go back to before last season, right? Before the dream of last season, the huge step forward, just the incredible positive year that everyone had. Before last year, what was one of the biggest concerns, probably the biggest concern about the makeup of this team? I don't mean on the ice. I don't mean, you know, did they have enough puck moving or scoring or whatever. What was the biggest concern about the makeup of this team? It was that they couldn't stop things from snowballing. It was that when things were going against them, they tended to keep going against them and get even worse. Don Taylor said, yeah, anyone can be good front runners. And that was kind of the rep this team had, right? Hey, new coach bump with Bruce Boudreau. All of a sudden the vibes change. You can get out and play some good hockey and things look really, really good for a little bit. But when the tide turns, when the chips are down, things get away from them. That was a problem under Travis Green. It was a problem under Bruce Boudreau. Both of the, you know, the last Travis Green season, the season went off the rails in a hurry. The Bruce Boudreau season, remember all those blown leads at the start of it? Things go bad and they could never get it back together. Now, it's not fair to say that they were never tested in that way last season. Yeah, they didn't face a lot of adversity, but think back last year. Yeah, okay, it starts with an incredible blowout win against the Oilers. They barely hold on for another win on the road against the Oilers. But then they go and they got really poorly outplayed, or really badly outplayed, against the Flyers. They lose to Tampa. They're 2-2, and there was a brief moment there where it felt like, okay, maybe the history is repeating itself. To their credit, they kept the season on the rails, and they were able to go on and have that dream season. And to their credit this year, they've dealt with a lot of adversity, and it's not as if they're a bottom five team, right? They're not, you know, in the conversation for the first overall pick or anything like that, as they might have been in previous years. They've survived. So they do deserve a little bit of credit, or a lot of credit for that, for surviving and being in the playoff hunt. But in these individual games, that's what's really concerning for me. We're seeing that same problem crop up in these games where a couple of bad things go against you. Maybe it's bad breaks. Maybe it's breakdowns. You're not quite ready to play. You don't have your legs in the first 5 minutes. And there just seems to be so little pushback, so little ability to arrest it, to turn it around, to find the play, the shift that you need to get the game going in your favor again. Look at last night. Lankinen makes a bad play. You fall down 1-0. But there's no pushback. No, you're down a goal. Your goalie gave up a bad goal. That's going to happen. There's not a goalie in the league who doesn't give up the occasional bad goal, who doesn't occasionally misplay handling the puck. It's not a great play from Lankinen. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that it is. The second one wasn't great either, but that's the kind of thing you have to deal with sometimes. You have to have it in you to prevent a 2-0 game where maybe you've been a bit unfortunate from turning into a 6-0 game that ultimately you eventually score in and make it 6-1. And they just haven't shown the ability to consistently do that. Instead, it seems like instead of digging in, they fold. It goes from bad to worse. You get a result like last night. And that's why I think it's fair to have a stronger reaction to this loss than you might have in a blowout loss last season when they hadn't shown this pattern, right? Where it seems like they'd grown out of it for a stretch. Because this isn't a random one-off thing. This is a repeated pattern in games this season, and it's something that connects to a repeated major concern for this core group stretching back years, stretching back two coaches ago. We've had this concern, and we've been asking questions about this team. And then I listened to what Rick Tocchet had to say yesterday, right? He needs to find a way to get guys committed, which means that they're not currently committed. As I said to Donnie and Dolly, he's had these players, some of them for almost 2 years now. The core group, he's had them for 2 years. And he's still wondering if they're committed. And that must be incredibly frustrating for the coach and certainly for management. Because when they came in and started to preach, you know, we need to build this culture, we need to work on our habits, play with structure, part of it was, hey, if you guys do this, you're going to be rewarded with winning hockey. You're going to be rewarded by winning a lot of games, going to the playoffs, having a chance to win the Stanley Cup, probably scoring more as well because you'll be doing all the right things and you'll be rewarded with offense. So yes, it's hard, but trust us, there's rewards if you do it. And they must have thought that the team saw the rewards last year. Hey, guys, you did it. You bought in and you finally made the playoffs. You finally had a fun season. If I was the coach or if I was in management, I would think that, okay, now having tasted that, the players will be extra committed to doing things the right way. The players will be extra committed to the identity we started to build last year. Instead, it's gone completely the opposite way. That must be incredibly frustrating for Rick Tocchet and his staff, for Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford. Tocchet also talks about how hard it is to be an elite team, how they're not doing all of those hard things with any sort of consistency, with the consistency necessary to be a true Stanley Cup contender. So I think you look at these performances like last night, repeated issues that they've had this season. You hear the commentary from Rick Tocchet. You hear the commentary from Patrick Alvin. Go back to his interview with Ian McIntyre on New Year's Eve. And I think you add it all up together and we're back asking a question that before last year we spent a lot of time asking. Does this group have the mentality necessary to win a Stanley Cup? Last year it looked like they'd at least started to develop it. You could see the road ahead of them. You could see the path. All right, they're trending in that direction. This year it's been a major step backward. And it feels right now like all of the progress from last year has been erased. That's what it feels like. And again, they still got almost 40 games remaining in the regular season. They still have a chance to rewrite this story. They still have a chance to show that actually they did learn lessons from last year. They are capable of turning their season around when it gets to an endear like this. But if that doesn't happen and we're essentially back to square one, if they're never able to snap out of it, to string together a consistent effort over a period of games, weeks, maybe even a couple of months, that's what it's going to take at this point. If they're not able to do that, we're going to be back at square one. And at that point, how much confidence can you really ever have in this team figuring it out? That's going to be a very valid question if this season continues like it's gone so far, with the up and down nature, with the blowouts, with the seeming lack of engagement, with the coach talking about a lack of commitment. Because guess what? Dream seasons, they don't happen too often. Things go wrong. You got to fight to turn them around sometimes. Are we going to be in a position where we believe in this team to do that after this season? And if you don't have confidence that they can do that, well, this group's been together a long time now. If you haven't built that confidence yet, then there's really only going to be one option remaining, and that's to make drastic roster moves. And yes, that would require management potentially admitting a mistake on, you know, one of or maybe both of Elias Pettersson and JT Miller. But the fact that we've heard their names out there in trade reports, well, maybe management's thinking along the same lines. Maybe management is wondering, is this the right mix? Is there a path to being a true Stanley Cup contender with this core in place? Because I think we're starting to pile up a lot of evidence on the no side of that question. Some evidence on the yes side, you can point to last year. I don't want to throw it all out. I don't want to write it out and say it's impossible. But I think those are the stakes for the rest of this season. Does this core deserve to stay together? Do they deserve more chances, more kicks at the can? We thought that was a settled question last year. Certainly the decision to sign Elias Pettersson to a long-term deal felt like it was answering that in the affirmative. But I think we're right back to asking that question. Because ultimately, this probably is the last chance. They've had different coaches, different general managers, different supporting casts. The core is the constant here. And if it keeps going this way, at a certain point, they're going to be the thing that has to change. From this point on in this season, those are the stakes that we're talking about with the Vancouver Canucks. Couple of other things I want to hit from last night quickly here. One, so this has developed into a big talking point around Rick Tocchet. Timeouts and pulling the goalie. I don't care. I don't care about either of them. 2-0? You're going to call a timeout because you're down 2-0? How do teams fall down 2-0? It happens. And then 3-0, well, they're throwing hats on the ice, so you get a chance to rest and regroup then anyways. And as for pulling the goalie, it's so hard to say without knowing what Thatcher Demko's health is. Do you want him at this stage of his recovery, which is still fairly early, hasn't played that many games for you this year, do you want him coming in cold against a really, really good Winnipeg Jets team when your team isn't playing well? And is that really going to be the difference between going from 3-0, because that's the moment where you would pull him, maybe you'd bring him out to start the second period. Is that going to be the difference between you losing that game and you winning? Probably not. And what matters more long term? You having, you know, a 3% better chance to come back and win that game, or preserving Thatcher Demko's health? So don't care if he didn't call a timeout. Don't care if he left Lankinen in there. Small potatoes compared to the bigger stuff going on around this team. We'll talk more about JT Miller and his ice time and his performance with Randeep coming up at 1. The one moment that really stood out to me, and I know Rick, we didn't get into it too much on the crossover, but listening to their show earlier, oh, he's saying, you know, ice time's not a big deal, or his effort's not a big deal because he's injured. Okay, but first of all, if you're injured, he's still in the lineup, and there's a certain baseline of effort and performance that's necessary, commitment that's necessary when you're in the lineup. And second of all, the fact that he was off the first power play unit last night, and not late in the game, not as a, you know, let's stir things up here late in the game and try some different power play configurations out. They're down 1-0 on the road against a great team. That's a big moment. That's a moment when you really want your power play to come through, tie the game for you, settle things down, reset. And Jonathan Lekker-Mackey's out there instead of JT Miller. That doesn't scream injury to me. That screams something bigger. And the fact that he's in the lineup, but playing, you know, sub 15 minutes on a semi-regular basis right now, considering how much Tocchet has liked to use JT Miller in the past, I don't know what's going on, but it's notable. The fact that he wasn't on power play one in that early big opportunity, very notable. JT Miller, we know he's played through a ton of stuff before, so yes, is he banged up? Probably. And he deserves a lot of credit for his ability to play through those injuries. But I think there's more than just he's banged up going on right now. To me, that doesn't explain him getting bumped off the power play for a rookie in a big moment against the Winnipeg Jets. Quickly to the broadsheet. Not a lot here today, rather surprisingly, or maybe surprisingly anyways. I mean, we talked earlier in the week about things quieting down around the Canucks a little bit. We'll see if a result like last night causes things to pick back up. Frank Saravalli from the Daily Faceoff, he was on with Halford and Brough this morning. You know, didn't really have anything new to report on the JT Miller, Elias Pettersson side of things. Did reiterate that the Canucks, and as Frank says, as they've basically been doing since the start of the season or even back to training camp, are still looking to try to upgrade their blue line. But we all know there's not a lot of bona fide top four defensemen out there on the market. And if they are, they're very expensive. Do they have the appetite to part with those types of assets to bring in a key player, considering the other bigger questions around this team? Do they want to figure out what exactly the path forward is with this core before they make any more moves like that? So the Miller-Pettersson stuff still out there. No news on it really this week. And of course, the Canucks still looking for that top four upgrade. Lineup notes, no practice today. They're traveling back from Winnipeg. They will play LA on Thursday. So we'll likely see a full morning skate tomorrow with no practice today. Going to be very interested to see what Rick Tocchet has to say when he's back in front of the full complement of Vancouver media, what kind of questions he's asked, what his message about his team is with a day to kind of think about the results in Winnipeg. And then they'll have to get prepared to play a really good LA team in their first game back. I should also note that Patrick Alvin announced today Guillaume Brisebois, Jonathan Lekkerimäki, and Max Sasson have been assigned to Abbotsford. So the Canucks, remember we talked about this a lot at the beginning of the year, right? Sending guys back and forth between Abbotsford and Vancouver helps you accrue that cap space. So the tolling cap space project is still very much active for the Vancouver Canucks. They're still trying to eke out every last bit of cap space they can before the March 7th trade deadline. We'll see ultimately how they put that to use, but that project remains ongoing for the Vancouver Canucks. Playoff standings update. Flames and Utah lost in regulation last night. Now, the Flames lost to St. Louis, which is another team in the chasing pack. But yeah, if you're doing scoreboard watching already here on January 15th, good that that game was not a three-point affair, that it ended in regulation. And Utah continues to slide as well. They're 2-7-1 in their last 10. So as things stand right now, the Canucks remain a single point back of the Calgary Flames for the second wildcard spot with the same number of games played. St. Louis, 2 points behind the Canucks, but St. Louis has played two additional games than Vancouver. So a close race, but again, if you look at Dom's model, the Canucks with a 78% chance to make the playoffs. So still a measure of belief, a pretty significant measure of belief from the model. And if you are trying to talk yourself into the Canucks still making the playoffs. By the way, even given everything I've said about the team, I absolutely believe they can make the playoffs. If I had to pick right now, I'd probably pick that they would, in fact, make the playoffs still, just because of the quality of competition chasing them. Utah looked like maybe they were going to be frisky there, but they've really fallen off. I'm not a big believer in Calgary. There is still every path to this team making the playoffs. The big question remains, though, what are they going to do if they get there? Are they going to be in a position to do some damage, or is it going to be, congrats, you made the playoffs, you're gone after round one? That's the bigger question to me than just, can they make the playoffs? All right, we'll wrap up the whiteboard there for today. We'll look at the betting odds tomorrow when they face the LA Kings at home. And again, that one is just going to be a fascinating scene, I think, to see how do they respond back home. How does the crowd respond? What's the messaging from the coach, the players, all of that when they talk to the media? Going to be a really, really interesting day for the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. You can send your thoughts in. There is tons and tons of commentary coming into the Dunbar Lumber text line. It's a busy day for the Dunbar Lumber text line, so you can contribute to that. 650-650. I'll try to flag some in the break, and we can get into it with Randy Janda in the next segment. I'll throw this question out again. I mentioned it on Twitter. I mentioned it towards the top of the show. Who are you most frustrated with right now? Players, management, coaching staff. Let me know, 650-650 to the Dunbar Lumber text line. Randeep Janda, color analyst for the Canucks here on Sportsnet 650. He joins me next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.